What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
On Tuesday, the Bears announced that the team placed linebacker TJ Edwards and offensive lineman Ozzie Chipillo on injured reserve. Are you more concerned about the health of the offense or the health of the defense heading into Sunday's divisional round game against the Rams at Soldier Field?
Okay. I'll play this dangerous, scary game you're playing, Ray M. Diaz. I don't even know what the M stands for.
It's Michael. You know, MJ.
Ray Michael Jordan Diaz. Here's my issue. Is that the offense makes me concerned because obviously the left tackle situation is not set. We're going to talk about that with Olin Cruz too. We got a lot to discuss with Olin at 125. 1 o'clock is Danny. We got a lot to say to Danny too. I forgot to tell Courtney Turner the Danny's robe is custom. She wanted Danny's robe. I forgot to bring it up. Anywho, the defense is what terrifies me here. How can it not? TJ Edwards broke his damn leg, for example. Do we know how CeeDee Gardner-Johnson's doing? I know he was tweeting a bunch watching the playoff game, and I love that for him and us. Those who read his tweets, is he going to be available? Jalen Johnson looked a little bit better even during the game progressing. Kyler Gordon looked okay. So is he gonna have a game where maybe he's super sore and super roughed up if he hadn't played a lot of football games this year? It's the health of the defense. Like, especially, okay, Joe Tryon-Shoyanka is still in the concussion protocol, or at least at last check he was. You know, they traded for him because when Dyer Odenbo went down, they wanted to help. So that defensive front that they say they're going to have to rely on against the best offense in the National Football League is going to have to be better. So all of that said, you are going to have to figure out how to make that defense work in a way that perhaps hasn't worked before.
Yeah, if we're talking about health-wise, it's got to be the defense. All those people you just mentioned, plus Andrew Billingsley in the middle, like...
Yeah, Andrew Billings had a hip injury.
He's that dude, as far as the run goes, that you've been able to depend on for a couple of years now. And if he's hurt, that's problematic. Also, it's... How healthy is Jalen Johnson? I know he's not going to be 100% before the end of the season. Same with Kyler Gordon. But exactly how healthy will they be? Is he or Kyler as healthy as, I don't know, Davante Adams?
It's going to be... You heard what Matt Bowen said. If he was the Packers, based on the Bears' struggles on defense against the Lions, he would just run nothing but crossing patterns. And that seemed to be the way that the Packers wanted to attack the Bears this last time, until there were some adjustments. And frankly, until you saw Jalen, for example, running with Christian Watson to get that pass break up. I really want to call him Christian Watkins now because of Kevin Byard. Is that wrong?
That's not wrong.
It's like Jalen Johnson. You know, it's a dangerous game.
It is a
when you start
game.
Saying guys' names wrong, it's going to come up somewhere on the air and you're going to look silly.
Next thing you're saying, CJ Gardner-Johnson. You don't want to do that.
Well, and we still call him CeeDee.
Yes.
He asked to be called CeeDee. What he says goes.
Yes, yeah, CeeDee Gardner-Johnson had an impactful season, so we're going to call that man what he wants to be
called.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a simple agreement. You know, it's basic stuff.
Number 2.
Question number 2, what concerns you most about the Los Angeles Rams?
Come on, man. This is very easy.
Everything.
What concerns me most is those receivers. The 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. The 2-1 mm-hmm. punch. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Puka Nacua doing whatever he wants. And then the red zone, the fact that Davante Adams can score on a pass in the red zone because that's what they've been doing all season long. Matthew Stafford is out here creating new rules of engagement when it comes to getting into the deep red zone and what you're supposed to do. You don't have to run it in. You can just toss it to Devontae. Everybody, he's got you.
We had discussions about the deep red zone and the intimate red zone and And did you notice how everybody started calling it the low red zone after
that?
Yeah,
what's that? The
it's
low red zone?
It's almost as if we blew it up because we were middle school kids about it all.
Red zone's still better than the red area? Is that what someone called it?
Kirk Herbstreit jumped on the Tom Brady train and called it the red area too. And I'm like, yo, that's what you tell your doctor about. This is not what we call the field.
Back in the day when I covered the Steelers, it was the Heinz red zone because, you know, Heinz Field. So ketchup, anytime you got inside the 20, they do all the sponsorship for that.
Hot take, ketchup is good.
Oh, that is a hot take.
Not on a hot dog. Let's not be ridiculous.
What's it good on?
Not eggs, but french fries and stuff and a burger.
Hot take, ketchup is terrible for you. It's just straight sugar in a packet.
Straight sugar is actually sugar.
Processed sugar in a packet. How about that?
No, I like that spicy ketchup, guys. The spicy ketchup is the way to go.
You like a little kick? Well, let's hope that the Bears get a little kick to their offense. I don't know, in the first quarter of this game. Five
on it. Number three.
This is 5 out of 9 on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. And Mark Grody, he'll be here at 12:25 giving us a report live from Hallis Hall. On Tuesday, the NFL world reacted to Mike Tomlin stepping away from his role as Steelers head coach. Here's how Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti reacted to it.
On at Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job.
So that's Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti reacting to the news that Mike Tomlin stepped away from the Steelers. But here's our question. It's multiple choice. Do you think Mike Tomlin will open the 2026 season as a head coach of a new NFL team? B, a member of an NFL broadcast crew? C, just be a retired dude? Or D, other? And if you do choose other, I want to know, what do you think Mike Tomlin's going to be doing?
I think Mike Tomlin's going to be doing a whole lot of commercials. So I'm going to go with D, other.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he can't still do B, be the member of a broadcast crew. I just cannot see him retiring and not doing anything and or coaching somewhere else while he's still on, you know, he still has rights to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know that teams want to give up a whole lot for Mike Tomlin at this current juncture, but I think Mike Tomlin just gets on TV and gets to be Mike Tomlin, both on the set of a post-game, pre-game show, whatever, and also in commercials. Mike Tomlin in commercials is going to be amazing.
Hi, this is Mike Tomlin for your local auto dealer. Do you like to drive? We like to drive on the Steelers. I don't know. I'm just trying to make up something on the fly. I got to write these things down in advance.
I would love Mike Tomlin to do those auto insurance commercials that Ice-T does. I would
with
love
Vivica
to
A.
see,
Fox?
And with I would like to see Vivica A. Fox, Ice-T, and Mike Tomlin in one commercial.
Here's the issue is like, do they just do a riff off of Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard, where it's like, Mike Tomlin's here for quality control. The standard is the standard. And it's something random, you know, like when you need your countertop surfaced, Mike Tomlin is the guy for the standard.
There is a treasure trove of Tomlinisms. And that's a tease for 145 because we're going to go through some of those.
Also, credit to Steve Bisciotti, who sounded the most self-aware and real that I've heard an owner sound in a very long time. That, and I don't like to use these phrases a lot because they get used and weaponized, is a self-made man.
I just thought of another.
He started his business out of his basement with secondhand equipment.
Well, yeah, he also brings levity, as we heard there in the press conference. So he seems, as you said, self-aware of what's going on through other people's eyes, not just, you know, a billionaire owner, as tend to be the case.
He's not talking about taking over other countries in press conferences. Jerry Jones.
Oh, man, that's a direct shot. Also, to go along with my television theme, he could also just be Omar Epps' stunt double.
Oh, wow.
You've never seen them in the same place, have you?
This is true.
I have not.
Guess we might get to the bottom of that mystery after all.
Five on it. Number four.
Is Chiefs offensive coordinator and former Bears head coach Matt Nagy about to get boxed out of this coaching cycle?
Here's the thing. So when the coaching cycle first started, you know, I'd say day 1 through 5 or so, wink. So like when the cycle first started, you're like, oh, Matt Nagy seems like a reasonable candidate here. You know, he had the story with Dan Pompey talking, or was it? Yeah, it was Dan Pompey talking about what he would do better the next time around. And I do think he deserves a next time around. I think most people do. That's fair. He qualified for the job. The problem is the Bears qualified him, which I don't know if at the time that was good enough for the rest of the league. He did get to two playoff games in separate seasons.
How many do you win?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
So, point being, it would be safe to say, especially when he went back to one of the most successful teams in the NFL, that he would get a second chance. So he talked about what he would do differently, which not a lot of coaches will actually come out and say, and I give him credit for that as well. So then he starts getting these interviews, but then you hear what names could be available and then are available. Mike McDaniel, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin is tradable, available. And what do you think is going to happen in this? Somebody's going to get boxed out of the cycle that wasn't available or that was probably going to be a big name previously. It is just like a depth chart, unfortunately. So I wonder if he probably gets a job just based on the sheer number of head coaching availabilities there are and the fact that his odds are better being an offensive-minded head coach. But I don't know. This is a tough one. It doesn't have the same kind of luster now that we're a little bit later in the cycle that it had originally.
I'll say this. Matt Nagy was never on my radar to be hired for a head coaching job. Not that I have a head coaching job to fill, but if it was, Matt Nagy's so far down my list. There's so many other people I would put as a head coach of my team than Matt Nagy. It's a long list. You didn't even mention Kevin Stefanski.
Two-time coach of the year.
I'd rather have Brian Flores than Matt Nagy.
One of the best defensive coordinators in the game.
Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, anyone?
Absolutely. His name is very high among a lot of people.
Rams defensive coordinator Chris Shula.
Interviewed, yes.
I could just keep going.
Well, we can keep going with Brian Daboll, who's reportedly going to interview with the Titans.
If that's I'm the Titans, one. I'm interviewing 200 people.
Cliff Kingsbury. The list goes
that's
on.
Top of the list name right there. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury.
And that's the point. Like we forgot about who all is available because of some of the biggest names in coaching in the league.
Take that, Matt Nagy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Number 5.
This is 5 minutes on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Mark Grody joins us from Hallis Hall at 12:25, just 10 minutes away. Who will be the most famous person we see at Sunday night's Bears-Rams divisional round matchup at Soldier Field?
Okay, so here's one of my concerns, is that Common was a photographer, right? He was just...
Yeah, he had the official NFL, that brown vest.
Yeah,
the
vest you wear because, you know, you want to be visible in case there's a collision or something. You have to move around the side. If you're adjacent to the sideline, you have to wear one of those for safety. And they make sense. But, you know, Common's famous and all. But every day at the game, you have Simone Biles.
Mm. Yeah.
Arguably the greatest gymnast of our time. Did you see the Jonathan Owens coat she had made, by the way? It was like this long leather coat, and then his picture was on the back of the coat.
Is it a new one? Because Didn't she used to have a Packers one?
Yes, she did. But she, being one of the greatest of all time, had this made. So it's like this black leather coat, or it's some sort of heavy material coat, and then it had like a fur collar. So Simone Biles is the given, right? Because she's always going to be the most famous. And there was a litany. Freddie Gibbs, who was on this radio station, which I think is incredible. The amount of people who were there to watch the game, or like AJ Pierzynski was there, for example, who our buddy, our caller got to say hello to. So I think that here's the thing. How many playoff wins do the Bears have to get before Michael Jordan comes back to town?
Being that this
How many, Michael Jordan? What is it going to take for you to come back?
Piece of ownership in the team.
Okay, who would be mad if Michael Jordan had a piece of ownership of the Bears?
Don't let him near that front office, though.
Don't worry about that part. We'll give him a cool, fun job, like being Michael Jordan's job.
Okay.
How many wins? What is it going to take?
Well, I would
to
expect
get Michael Jordan back here.
I would expect Michael Jordan to roll into Soldier Field before I would expect him to come anywhere near the United Center or a White Sox game. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, to be quite honest.
That man avoids Chicago so much, he's going to have to be airdrop skydived onto the field.
I have an idea of a famous person that could come and supersede Simone Biles. What about former President Barack Obama? He's a Bears fan.
How many wins for Barack?
I'm just saying. That's the only person I can really think of off the top of my head that's would be more famous than Simone Biles.
Michael Jordan went to a North Carolina game. Michael Jordan sat for a Bill Belichick coach North Carolina game.
Did he leave early like everybody else?
I don't know. That's a good question. Did Jordan Hudson have a hand in that? Like, who brought Michael Jordan to that game?
Not Jordan Hudson. I forgot about her.
Hey, what about Jennifer Hudson? She's, she's dating Common.
Jennifer girlfriend. Hudson would qualify. Yes. We would be happy to see Jennifer Hudson at a Bears game. PCA will also qualify.
Oh, PCA will be there because he's been there.
Yeah, but
my inspiration for this, coming up with this question is the man of the hour, because the Cubs officially announced it today.
Alex Bregman.
That's right. Cubs third baseman, officially Alex Bregman. I bet he'll be there because he was at a Blackhawks game.
Yeah. I just, none of those people are as famous as Simone Biles. That's the problem.
No, the only one it's Oprah, who could also come back to Chicago anytime. Oprah,
Jordan, Barack, Obama.
The late Jerry Springer would have been a part of this mix, but he was a big baseball fan, you know. I used to see Jerry at MLB Network when I worked there. He had a stretch limo because he's awesome.
Spike Lee? The text line's going crazy.
Well, yeah, Spike Lee was at the game.
Chance, I love Bill Murray.
Was at the game.
Chance was. I loved that.
Seth Rollins and Vince Vaughn were at the game.
6-3-0. The Pope.
Oh, how many playoff wins does it take to get the Pope?
Well, Pope, the threshold for the Pope's got to be the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Super Bowl before you ask him for the Pope to show up.
Why not? Why can't the Pope show up at a wild card game?
I love that in the Spiegel and Holmes interview with Freddie Gibbs.
Okay.
They asked him about seeing Spike Lee, and Freddie Gibbs said to Spike Lee, "What are you doing here?" And it didn't sound like Freddie Gibbs even got an answer from Spike Lee. Like, Freddie Gibbs was just as surprised.
That's hilarious.
Because we all thought the same thing. We're like, wait. You're trying to get the Pope a Knicks jersey, dude.
Well, New York football, the state of New York football is horrible, so he's got to latch on, you know?
If you're tired somewhere of your New York football teams, come to the Bears.
Are we back on our death row? Is that what we're doing?
But you know, unfortunately for Spike, he's going to have to get rid of the Knicks love, too, in there. And yeah, I know people have said that that's bad luck, but that's how this works.
Lupe fiasco. I mean, the Bears are trying to kick push the way to the Super Bowl.
I don't know that Lupe fiasco is more famous at this juncture in time in 2026 and Simone Biles.
But none of these people out that we're saying. Bill Murray, Ashton Kutcher, Belushi. Like, I get it.
Yeah, all of these people are welcome.
Yes. Ditka.
Just don't ask me for tickets because I have zero. But I think that they should be at the game.
Five on it.
That was five on it. And I'm still in, like, paused and thinking about the concept of Michael Jordan being at the game. It's not going to happen.
That would be a whole story in and of itself.
But then again, you know, I thought a lot of things weren't going to happen, and they do. So I don't know. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Kevin Garnett is welcome at the game. Coming up next here on Raheem Harris and Grody, we'll go out to Hallis Hall. Mark Grody joins us next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.